Good morning, Lori. How are you?
I am doing well. How are you?
Well, it's a beautiful day here in mid-Michigan, and we appreciate the opportunity to talk with you. As we did at length on Friday, we just wanted to get a little update and see what you've learned over the weekend as the suspect has been in jail for a while. We are waiting extradition here to Michigan. From what I understand, he wasn't going to fight that, but there's a little bit of paperwork involved in that.
Sure. He, well, we watched that hearing. He actually had two hearings on Friday, and he didn't really seem to know what was going on. He actually, I think, thought he could fight the Michigan case in Georgia, but when the judge explained that wasn't the case, he said, yeah, why not wait? And he said, why not just go now? It'd be more logical, he said, to just go as soon as he could. But he actually has two attorneys that were hired, and the first one was at that second hearing. They're actually from your area, Lansing-based attorneys helping him. And we had thought that originally he was going to be back by today or tomorrow, but it could be up to that full 15 days. The Michigan authorities have 15 days from last Friday to get him back here. So I think they're just taking their time. And you know, it's a process. Usually you would bring him up on a bus and you stop along the way and pick up whoever else needs to come. But I believe they're just going to fly. So that means like the U.S. Marshals would be involved, or and I think they're just trying to figure everything out and just realize that, you know, it's not a rush. They have who they believe is their suspect in custody. He has his attorneys. They're doing their thing here. And so there's not an immediate rush to move past the point of those 15 days right now.
Lori, do you know the names of those attorneys?
Yep, it's Brian Morley, who's actually a former Flint police officer and from Grand Blanc, I believe, in our area, went to Powers, I believe. And then Ed Warr, I believe his name is Zany. I think they call him Eddie. He was on some of the national news programs this weekend, and he was actually in Georgia Friday. I don't know much about either one of them, but I believe Eddie, and I have no knowledge of him at all other than what I read. Someone called him Eddie. I think he was hired first, possibly by the family. I'm not sure if that's family here in Michigan or family in Israel. And then my understanding is that he got the other attorney on board, asked him to be part of it.
So from what we know, Mr. Abulazam, and I'm probably just tearing that name up, but he was about to step on a plane to Israel. What do we know about him? Have we learned anything more about the attacks? I know there was one attack that he is being looked at that happened over in Israel. What's the latest?
Well, yeah, that came out Friday. Police in Israel had said that he, you know, I think it was 6 months ago, a friend of his were in a parked vehicle or something, and he is suspected in that stabbing, but the victim wasn't cooperative, so I don't know if there's going to be anything with that. I don't think they have to worry about authorities over there trying to get to him before the people here in Michigan have their time. But I think I read somewhere online that Virginia police are looking at him for possibly an unsolved murder, I believe, in you know, last year or the year before, maybe as far back as 2004. I can't remember the date, but it looks as though I think they're going to be looking at him for that. And, I mean, that was to be expected. You know, as soon as everyone figured out where he was, and he had a place in Florida as well, so the Florida authorities were going to look through their old cases and see if there was anything that fits the bill there. And, you know, Virginia, of course, they've been really on this. Virginia has. They are the ones that come out and said it absolutely is racially motivated. Our prosecutor is definitely not saying that yet. They haven't even spoken with him, so they want to, you know, his thing is we don't know what his motivation is because we haven't talked to him. Virginia police have really just been pushing it seems, and really, you know, will go back and apparently try to connect him to this other case as well.
Well, apparently when he attacked a 19-year-old Hispanic man in Leesburg, that was caught on tape, and that really gave law enforcement the information that they need to really go out and get this guy.
Yeah, that's right. They that was in that parking lot, that shopping center. It was pretty early. It was like 9:50 at night or something. It was before 10 o'clock. When they only released the part to where he pulled up, they actually caught the attack on tape, I believe, and And maybe not all of it. I think some of it was partially hid by a van or something. But I think they had some pretty good evidence there. And that vehicle, yeah, definitely helped things. And when they released it, you know, that just kind of cemented that that was the SUV they were looking for. And here it is. So they've had a lot of, they've had a lot of, I wouldn't say good breaks, I guess. But, yeah, that video was good because even in our area, you know, one of the attacks occurred not in a really busy part of Saginaw, but right next to a health clinic and then this bar. And the bar actually, or not a bar, a tattoo shop, I believe, had video cameras, but it was, they were pointed the other way. So we kind of lost out on that. But, you know, I mean, that, maybe that's what was needed. I guess they, it was a little bit earlier at night in a well-lit area, and video cameras just happened to be right there.
We're talking with Lori Dugavito, who's the award-winning reporter from ABC 12 WJRT in Flint. She's been covering the Flint serial stabbings. Lori, it seems that most of the victims in the stabbings have been black. There are some Hispanic. Any information if races come into play here because the alleged attacker, of course, is from Israel?
Yeah, our prosecutor, David Layton, is not connecting those dots yet. They want to talk with him first. And, I mean, it's true. They decreased the number of assaults in our area by two. So they took out two of those. So I think we have 14 in our area, and I think all but one or two of them were African-American. But in a city like Flint, that's a predominantly African-American city. So, you know, was he in that area because of that, or did he just happen to be that area, and that's who's out at that time of the night? You could probably go either way on it, and, you know, I don't know. They're wanting to talk with him and see what his situation is before they come out and say that for sure. Like I said, in Virginia, yeah, they're predominantly white in that area, so they're saying it absolutely was a racial thing, and he was targeting them for the color of their skin. But, you know, it was also, I think you have to look at the other factors as well, that the time of night, most of them were from 11 to 6, so, you know, 11 at night to 6 in the morning, people walking alone. This guy's big. I mean, I don't know if you saw that video or not, but he is huge. I mean, they said he was 5'11 to 6'2". I mean, he was standing inches above the guards that were bringing him into court on Friday in the video we saw. And just, I mean, big, muscular guy. So probably wouldn't be too hard to find someone that was smaller than him, but all these guys, you know, were alone. They weren't walking with people. Some of the victims report that they had seen his vehicle in the area and then, you know, prior to the attack, but maybe they were with someone else. So it was almost like he was stalking them is the word they were using, and then waiting until they were alone. So mostly poorly lit areas, side streets off major thoroughfares. So, you know, who knows what his motivation was at this point.
Lori, obviously the Flint media took off on this case immediately, especially after it was apparent that this was a serial type situation. But Michigan as a whole was a little slow to pick up on it, and then they really did. But I was surprised that it took the national media so long.
Yeah, it did take a couple days. We are an ABC station, and our network, and we share video with CNN, and they were picking up some of the video, but ABC, I think they finally sent one of their correspondents, I'm trying to think if it was Monday or Tuesday, but still didn't do a lot with it. You know, they just send someone here and gather information, and then they can decide if they want it or not at that point. But I did an interview with CNN, not last Saturday, the Saturday before, and that's probably was late Friday, early Saturday before people really started getting interested, and then really Monday or Tuesday before it started running all over the place.
Well, the arrest was made on Friday. A sense of relief in Flint. Is the vibe toned down there, and the security urgency, has that been toned down?
Oh, sure. The arrest was actually made Wednesday, and then its court hearing was Friday. But yeah, I mean, people were freaked out. I mean, the mayor was on TV saying, you know, alter your routines. Don't be out at night. Walk with people. Take the bus. Take, you know, take a friend, do something. And, I mean, people all over were, I was talking with a girl who lives in the Detroit area, and she said she was out walking by herself and just happened to catch a car on the corner of her eye and freaked out. You know, I mean, everyone's talking about it. Everywhere I went this weekend, people wanted to know what was going on and what his deal was and why he was here and why he was there. And, you know, I think our local paper did a pretty cool article. I think it printed Saturday, where they went out, and we did something to this effect too, but, you went out around the time of those attacks and talked with people in the areas. And, of course, there's party stores and liquor stores open, and people are always hanging out. It's a nice summer night, you know, and they were. You know, people had knives, and they found a guy with a walking around with a stick, you know, a bat or whatever. We had stories about guys in certain pockets walking around with, you know, pit bulls and guns. We didn't see any of that, but that's what the people were saying. They were freaked out. You know, they weren't going to – a lot of the comments were, you know, he's going to have to fight me to get to me. He's not going to get me. So I think people are just, you know, a little in shock still that something like this was taking place in our area. Even though Flint has had its fair share of crime and troubles, this is a little different. This is, you know, calculated, planned, whatever, and so different from some of the other stuff that happens in that area.
And then, Lori, before we let you go, I wondered, covering this story, I know you're used to covering the crime beat, but covering this story, stories like this, is it put a little apprehension in you? Do you ever look over your shoulder and wonder if, you know, this guy or similar type stories where people are maybe going to try and get in your grill or contact you? Do you ever worry about your safety when you cover these stories?
No, I've been pretty... you know, I don't really get like that, I guess. We have, I always go with a photographer, so it's not like I'm ever by myself. And a lot of the guys that work there have been in that area for a while, and a couple of them have even lived in that area. So they're pretty, you know, they're pretty alert, and they know what's going on. And, you know, should we be in this area at this time? And, you know, at night, definitely you don't want to be in the middle of the north side and, you know, do a live shot at 11 o'clock at night. That's just not smart. So, you know, just you're careful, and I've never had any issues. I've never felt threatened or anything like that. You know, it's fun to go out and see the different areas and different people and the way they live. But, you know, you just have to be conscious of what's going on around you, and you know, the people that we're with are pretty good at doing that as well.
Well, as you mentioned earlier, the extradition process is in full effect. I imagine we'll be seeing video of this guy when he flies into town, and we'll learn all about the jail he's put in and get a final, I guess, resolve on the charges that are going to come his way.
Yes, we do know he is going to be in the Genesee County Jail. I talked to the sheriff Friday. He'll be alone. You know, a safe and secure environment, 23 hours in a cell, 1 hour out a day. As of Friday, they didn't know what airport he'd be flying into or when exactly. They had 15 days again from last Friday. So that's all to be sorted out soon, I imagine. Whether they'll release that or not, I don't know. But that is a way of getting out, too. And charges, I guess. I imagine they're working on their case right now. They only needed one to bring him here. And one to hold them on, but you know, I think for the way they do it is pick out what they have and what kind of evidence they have that best supports the charges and go from there.
All right, Lori, thanks so much for your coverage. Once he gets back in the state, we'll probably give you a call again. Thank you so much.
No, thank you for having me.